Okay. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, dear God, that you are constantly, always at our heart's door to provide us with all that we need for each and every situation we face. We pray, dear God, that you would bless your word to each of us today, that the Holy Spirit be very near each individual here. Father, that we might know how precious our days in this world, how rare they are, and how valuable it is that we learn to walk with you in all things and put our trust in you in all things, knowing that those wings, those mighty wings, overshadow the circumstances of our lives, and that there is safety as we put our trust in you. Father, bless this time, bless this service, Lord, to your glory. May each one receive by the Holy Spirit the understanding that we may need in a time and a circumstance unique to us. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness and goodness, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn this morning to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Now, Ecclesiastes, many say, well, you can't, you know, Solomon is not speaking literally. These are not, it's not a doctrinal book. But as even the very title of it means, Ecclesiastes means the ecclesia or a leadership, but it really comes from a word which means to be a carpenter, to put things together to make something. Take bits of pieces of things and put them together to make something bigger and greater. It's a vision, if you would say, in the mind of the carpenter. He may not have a plan on paper. He may. But he has a purpose, a will, and a goal, and a focus. So Ecclesiastes means to nail things together for an improvement, for something better and broader and bigger. So we find in Ecclesiastes practical wisdom. That's one thing I always enjoy. You can almost go to Ecclesiastes at any time and just read a little bit, and it's just common sense. It's common sense in that it has a spiritual application. The Ecclesiastes holds valuable truths, common sense truths, and wisdom. Though, again, you would not necessarily use these to make a doctrinal stance or stand, it does reveal facts about, like when Jesus came speaking about the kingdom of God, he said, well, the kingdom of God is like this. There's no way to express exactly what it is like, but he says, it's like this, and this is kind of how it works in the kingdom of heaven. This is how this goes. These are kind of the guidelines and the rules. This is where the blessings are, and this is where the wisdom can be found in helping us to understand the person, the character of God. So here in chapter 10, a very common sense and ordinary sort of passage, but it has great wisdom to it and great value. In all of chapter 10, especially the first part, is always been a blessing to me. But just in verse 10 of chapter 10, we read, if the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. We'll kind of break that down, because really what we find here, we find Three problems and a solution. Three problems and a solution. So we'll take it basically phrase by phrase. So the first phrase is, if the iron be blunt. Now the word iron here, and the intent here is it speaks of the edge on the iron. So speaking of an iron tool. It could be an axe, it could be a knife, it could be a plow, it could be a shovel type device, some sort of cultivating tool. But if the edge is dull, if the iron on the tool is dull, from use, keep that in mind, it needs attention. So there's a problem here. We've all experienced this in one way or another. We've experienced a dull knife or if you've ever done any gardening or anything with a dull or worn shovel head, anything like that, it's harder. The reason for having a sharp edge, and we'll get to that here, but it's rounded and it simply does not do what it was designed to do very well. But it gets that way from use. So we're talking about an instrument, a tool here that has been blunted by use. So it's been used. It's been used. It's been part of a person's life. It's been part of work, an ongoing work. So it's owned by someone who knows the process and knows the reasons for its use and has experience in the work and familiar with the labor. But the tool has become dull from use and it needs attention. So there's a problem here, and I've done it before. Had something, some sort of iron edge that has become dull. And I said, well, it's good for one more time. Or I can do one more job. I don't need to take the time to, as the next phrase says, to wet it, to sharpen it. So I put things off. I said, well, I'm willing to work a little bit harder to get it done. And it's really not that bad. And it's kind of some rationalization that goes on there to continue using it in a less than optimum condition. But it's something that is known. It's something that the person's familiar with. It's something that's known. It's something that they used to do, and it used to be sharp, but it becomes dull. It's become dull. So the next phrase is, and he do not wet the edge. The word wet is like a whetstone. It's for sharpening. If he do not wet the edge. Now this is where it kind of begins to come together. And then here's an instrument that's important, a tool that's important for the person's work. It's important for maybe their living, for their livelihood, for their food, for whatever reason it's important. It's a tool that they are very familiar with and that they use regularly. And it's a needful thing because they're getting ready to use it again. If they do not wet the edge, they're getting ready to use it again. The word wet again means to sharpen. So if he does not sharpen, and this word sharpen or wet means to make little or to make it a finer edge. So you actually have a blunted edge, you make it smaller and more refined so that it might go into whatever that's the earth or to wood or to whatever more easily and do the work it was intended to do. So there's a reducing of the material in this instrument. It is a reducing of it to refine it and make it easier and better to use. But if he does not sharpen that cutting edge and make it finer and more little, not ready to move on yet, but the person who owns it, that uses it, that's familiar with it, is aware that it needs to be sharpened. This is known. They're aware of it. And it's a tedious job in some ways. It's a job that, for some reason, there's some consideration to not doing it. There's consideration given to not taking care of that cutting edge that does all the work. That does the work from the energy that's put to it by the owner. It's known that it's needed. He knows that it's dull. The person knows that it's been used, but it needs to be reduced. It needs to be sharpened. And there's work involved in doing that. There's work involved in doing it. But compared to the work that's caused by not doing it, it's a little amount of work. In life, there are all manner of things that take a little bit of work. Matter of fact, all of our lives are really about work. In the beginning, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, we won't go there, but you know, Solomon gave himself to all manner of works. And he saw that it was all vanity that ended up in nothing in this world. He said, I hate life. I hate life because it's all about work and none of it is really of any value. That's why Ecclesiastes really can't be used for doctrine, because we know our lives have tremendous value. And the things that God is doing in our life have eternal value. We lay up treasures in heaven. But the life in this world, when we just focus on life in this world, it's about work. Everything takes work. You know, houses don't get cleaned by themselves. The oil in the car doesn't change itself. These are small things. They're regular duties. And they get that way because of use. But it takes work, and some of it's very tedious work that we have to do. It's inconvenient work. And it's work that we often rationalize and say, well, it can be postponed. I can do it tomorrow. I can do it another day. I'm too busy today to do what I need to do. As pertains, we'll go back here to this iron. It's just an iron edge on an iron tool. The third problem that we read here is, as if the iron be blunt and it does not sharpen the edge, then he must he put to more strength. It's an old English translation way to put it, but it says, then he must be strong. And the word strong here, or put, it can also mean insolent. You know, in other words, kind of arrogant, disrespectful, and it's like having a strength up front that is unnecessary, is not really that profitable. And if you've ever done work with an iron edge, with an edge that needs to be sharpened, and it could be any manner of things, if that edge is not brought into the condition and the situation that it needs to be in, it's harder work. It's harder work. It's longer work. And we can be kind of disrespectful and arrogant in a way and say, well, I can do this. I don't need to take a little time to sharpen the edge. I can do this. I'm strong enough. I'm able to do that. So it should be really kind of dismissive of truth, of reality. It's to be kind of dismissive of the fact that something this simple, that an iron edge that is dulled by use, needs to be reduced, needs to be made smaller again, finer again, that it might be in proper working order. It is to dismiss that very, very simple truth as what Solomon lays out in Ecclesiastes in so many ways, is to be dismissive of reality. To be dismissive of that truth, and to really to shun a person's duty to that edge, to that tool, and as a result, it makes the work harder. They must be put to more strength, more force, more force. In using, like, kitchen knives, I like a sharp knife. Mary likes a dull knife. We talk about that once in a while. I say more people are harmed by a dull knife than a sharp knife. You have to push harder. It takes more force. I like a sharp knife, and what a difference it makes. What a difference it makes to me. It's important to me to have that sharp edge. That's what the tool is for. That's why you don't use a butter knife to cut up certain things that, like meats or vegetables, things that are hard, that need a sharp edge. It's a duty that we have to that tool, to our lives, to our safety, to our well-being, and to our benefit. And it's a very simple, it's a very simple reality that a fine, sharpened edge is easier on the person using it to do the work at hand. It's better for us to maintain that iron edge, that part where it does, we put our strength to it, but it's easier, it takes less of our strength to do it and be successful. And the older we get, we realize that extra work takes us wear and tear on our bodies. It takes us wear and tear on our achieving our goals, if you would, in this matter. It's a help to us. It's a way of helping ourselves do what it is we have to do. So if the iron be blunt, and the person who owns the tool, owns the instrument, whatever it might be, does not do what is needful for their own lives and for this tool, because this tool is part of their lives. That's the important thing. This tool is part of their lives in this example in verse 10. It's a necessary, it would appear, to their lives. It's something that they use like a plow, or again, like for tilling soil or gardening or whatever. It's something that's necessary for their lives. And if they neglect that edge, life gets harder. It wears a person down. And a spiritual life, we'll get more into this, but a spiritual life is what we're called to live and to do. And it requires a keen edge, because otherwise spiritual life can be very hard. A walk with God can, especially through difficult times, can be very hard. But I'll get back to that. So the solution offered here by Solomon in this last phrase says, but wisdom is profitable to direct. Wisdom, which means it's knowledge put to use, that wisdom is beneficial to the success of the work set before us. It makes the work which will happen and needs to take place easier. more profitable, more productive. Our lives are more productive. So we see here the iron edge and the sharpening of that edge and the strength involved in using the instrument or that tool, whatever that device may be, with an iron edge, a cutting edge, that whatever that might be, the wise thing is to do is to maintain it in good condition, that the effort put into it and through it is as easy as it can possibly be, is as accommodating as it can possibly be. It demonstrates wisdom. It demonstrates wisdom. Wisdom is profitable, is beneficial, is productive. It means just that. To guide. The word direct means to move forward, to accomplish. Again, to be profitable. Wisdom, a common phrase now, that, you know, stupid hurts. And God pours upon us, he opens to us extraordinary eternal wisdom and truth. That our lives in this world, though we face difficulties, though we face troubles, though we will and do indeed face work, spiritual work. So really the iron here, it's very, very straightforward, I think, and simple. The iron and the keeping that iron sharp and the work that we put into and through that tool or instrument, whatever it might be, is a look into a human life and a walk with God. We are called to a work. God has set before us works from before ordained before the foundation of the world that we should walk in them. That we should go through circumstances and situations in this life that require spiritual work and situations in life that require God's wisdom as we deal with each moment, each day, each circumstance. And most of the time it also involves physical work, physical involvement, because we do that work through these bodies. And these bodies do get wearied by spiritual work. I had the opportunity to meet with a man who's been in a church pastorate right now. He's currently a co-pastor of a church in Omaha. Been doing that for 39 years. And he's looking at retirement. And he's looking into maybe some chaplain work, some part-time work as he retires so he can keep earning an income, but wants to get away from the church environment. And we were talking about especially hospice chaplain work, but other chaplain work, and we all experience this, that spiritual work can be very, I call it, it's an, it, it can be a great emotional labor. There's a lot of physical work involved in being a mother, but I think there is a far greater amount of emotional labor that is put into child rearing. Yeah, there's the physical work, especially caring for a baby and older kids, preparing them, helping them prepare and grow in life and learn to do things and getting them to in their interests and their activities and lots of running here and there and all those sorts of things. But all of that comes back to an emotional work. And as a Christian mother, we recognize, or we can also recognize, that it is a spiritual work. It is a spiritual labor. And so I was talking to him about that. This, you know, I said, "Why? Well, you know, I've spent a lot of time, you know, with people in churches, going to hospitals, and you know, and prayed with them, and those sorts of things." I said, "Well, this is a little bit different. This is a little bit different." And we talked about the differences. And I said, "When you do the work, you really feel like you have really worked. You can become emotionally drained." They call it caregiver burnout. And how many mothers have, in dealing with children, are emotionally exhausted? And the way you become stronger through that time, there is the practical side, physical rest, taking care of your body and your health and your well-being. But a lot of the emotional or the labor involved is maintain the vision that you're raising a child, that you are raising one who does not know, who is not aware, does not understand, that wants things that are not necessarily beneficial to them. And so there's a lot of directing and redirecting. And the way that in the natural, you might say, that a mother keeps that vision is to remember that the child is a child. And I think therein we find a glimpse of the grace and the goodness of God, the mercy of God, is that he remembers, as I've been mentioned, talked about the last two Sundays, he remembers our infirmities. He knows our infirmities. He knows our weaknesses. He knows that most of the things that there is to know about being alive, we don't even have a clue what those are yet. Because they can only be revealed once we are in the kingdom of God. And then we will know. Then we will understand, even as we will know. Know even as we are known. So God deals with us patiently. He deals with us in wisdom. He deals with us. He has the future perspective in mind when it comes to dealing with us in our everyday lives. But on our part, there is something that there's those lessons that we learn and those things that we can understand is our Christian life in this world, it's going to involve work. It's going to involve labor. It's going to involve putting our bodies out there and to do those things that God has called us to do, even though our bodies don't really want to. And we have that old nature that we deal with. And so what helps as we go through this life as Christians, as believers in God, is when we find out that spiritual life and the calling of God seems to be hard, and it takes more and more work to do the things that we know need to be done, is to look at ourselves. And so we find that this iron edge on this tool is really our spiritual, if you would, acuity. Our spiritual understanding, our spiritual insight, and taking what God has revealed to us, taking the Word of God and applying truth to it. Another spot, I think in Proverbs states that, you know, that iron sharpeneth iron. And that we, as individuals, so a friend sharpens brightens, if you would, the countenance of his friend. There is a another place in Hebrews where we read, you know, we read that, you know, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And how much the more when we see the day approaching. We do not know when Christ has come, but we know that today God has called us to those works, those things in this life, that work that he's called us to do. And it can become very hard and wearisome and I said wearisome, not worrisome, but that we have this life that can get a little dull through use. We've walked with God, we have experience, but we can get weary in the way. As Paul said to the Galatians, we don't turn there, he said, be not weary in well-doing. When we have an understanding of our lives before God that is kept sharp, that is where the word of God is applied to our hearts and to our minds, and those areas, again, it takes work. It takes some maintenance. It takes some providing some care and having the right tool to do that. It takes something stronger than the iron that's being sharpened to sharpen iron. The word of God is able to transform a sinner. When the word of God is believed, to transform an ungodly person into a saint. The word of God is able to transform a child, a spiritual child, and cause them to grow spiritually and gain an understanding, a better insight, and the Spirit, and a relationship with the Holy Spirit, to where they see that the things that God has offered us, the things that God is doing in our lives, that life does make sense, and that eternity is real. And so we grow from using the milk of the Word. We grow from using and the soft things, point where we move up to the stronger meat. There's a maturity that takes place. And our lives in this world, there's one thing, it's kind of at the bottom line of this whole one simple little verse, is we need to be careful to maintain our relationship with God. And that's something, just like your own knives in your knife drawer at home, or the shovel in your shed, or your lawnmower blade, or whatever it might be, you're the one that's using it. It's your life. And deep down, you really know what needs to be done. God's faithful in revealing that to us. And we must give ourselves into the hands of God on a maintenance basis. And not, as it says, otherwise we go about our spiritual lives and it's a lot harder. And it's really evident. Because a walk with God, even in spite of all the difficult circumstances and situations, really can be a great source of joy and happiness and contentment. And it's God never gives us more, as the old saying is, He never gives us more than what we're able to do. The thing is, He's also with us in those times, and He is our strength. He is the one who, by the Word of God, as we avail ourselves of the Word of God and we learn from it, it's maintaining our spiritual lives before God, that our walk in this world, not only do we make it through, but we do so, we finish that course with joy and with satisfaction. And we do so by laying up treasure in heaven and giving ourselves to the promise of God that our lives in eternity, we take with us the gold and silver and precious stones, the valuable spiritual works that we do in this world. God remembers our love, our labor of love. It's a spiritual labor, like an emotional labor. When a mother's children grow older and they see what has become of their labor over 20 and 30 years, That's what Solomon writes of, that having a child that honors their father and their mother, it's such a blessing. I was going to look that up, but I didn't bring it, but I think you're all aware of it. What a blessing it is for a parent to look at their children and know all the labor, the countless hours of labor that have been invested in that child, and finally have their light turn on and they understand and those things come home. I sat with a daughter of a woman who was declining. And we sat and she just started talking about all the things her mom had done for her throughout her life and what a special person her mother was and how she had done this and how she had done that. But she talked about all the sacrifices that her mother made, the things that her mother gave up that she might be a stay-at-home mom, that she might provide for her children. Not that that can't be done by not staying at home. But she spoke of the sacrifices and how grateful she was for her mother's love and vision. Walking with God in whatever capacity, doing the work of God, like Enoch who walked with God. So those that walk with God that must believe in him and know that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There is a benefit to exposing our lives, our persons, our bodies, our souls, our spirits, exposing ourselves to the truth of God on a regular basis, because it grows dull with use as we get tired. But we have to do the work anyway. We have to live the next day anyway. But when our soul and our spirit is sharpened by the word of God, and we make that time and give that time to keeping this body in submission to the working of the Holy Spirit, the work is much more profitable. It's much easier. Things happen with a lot less strength than what we, sometimes we're just amazed at how God enables us in different situations to overcome and to have that joy and that peace that are so hard to find, impossible to find in the world outside of walking with God. We are not as others which have no hope. We have the presence of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, that we might do the things that are needful, that our lives in this world would be fruitful. That is the promise of God. We cannot do it without the promises of God. We cannot do it without the sharpening of our spirits by the word of God, by the truth of God, and the revealed wisdom of God. Wisdom, the wisdom of God is profitable. The wisdom of God is profitable to guide us, to lead us into the eternal blessings of God in Christ. It's a very simple verse. It's a very simple verse, a very simple concept. But it carries great spiritual meaning and value to all of us as we live out our lives in the labor that God has set before us, as we walk with God and come to understand with an increased knowledge of why we're alive, why we're in this world, what our lives are about. We need the wisdom of God. And when we have the wisdom of God, it makes the hard times, the difficult times, the labors much easier to bear and much more fruitful. Again, a very simple verse, but a very deep and challenging concept. Thank God that in his word, he makes these things available to us that we might understand really how simple it is to walk with God and to have God's best. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, that by the Holy Spirit you speak to our hearts very simply, very clearly. And you put your finger on, if you would. You point at those things in our lives that could make our lives much easier if we apply your word to the circumstance and situations. Father, bless this to our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we might know of a surety that there's nothing better for a man, for a person, than to walk with you through this dark and troubled world. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
690, verse 2.
Let's stand and turn number 690. 690. And sing the second verse. All right. He leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content whatever lot I see, 'tis in thy hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. God is with each of you. May God be with you in a very real and inspiring way through his word of truth. May God bless you. If you'd like to pray and worship the Lord, please do so. Amen.